We good? Awesome. Well, thank you guys for letting me speak to you. I know I'm a stranger to most of you, and I can't say that I totally know where all of you are and what's going on in your lives, but tonight I want to talk about something that is close to my heart and I believe is a crucial element of your relationship with the Lord. And let me just give you a little bit of background on myself and Braun. I've known Braun for about 13 years, and we used to do ministry together in K-Life, and he's become a good brother and a good friend, someone who's honest with me about my own shortcomings and my own weaknesses. And I'd encourage you guys, right now is the time where you are developing relationships that potentially could last a lifetime. And you guys are going to need brothers and sisters to lock arms with the rest of your life, who will be honest with you, will get in your face, will love you, who will be there when you're hurting. And Braun has been one of those people for me, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight. Quick Braun story. I know there are many, but it's true. I've tried to get Braun out of his shell, you know, and take him on a few adventures. And I grew up in California, and Braun finally gave in and went to California with me. We did a little trip, and we were in Santa Barbara on the beach, and we decided to rent some sea kayaks. And I'm like, Braun, you're gonna love this. We're gonna go out in these sea kayaks. And what you do is you position your boat right, and you can actually surf the waves in your sea kayak and use your paddle. And he's like, you know, Braun was getting sunburned already after like 5 minutes out there. It was all white. The sharks were circling all around because of the fresh meat in the water. But anyway, he's like, I don't know if you know this, but when Braun gets scared, he tries to be funny. He tries to like crack jokes and do really cool stuff. So Braun's, you know, cracks some classic jokes. And anyway, we start catching, I catch a little wave, and then it's Braun's turn, and he's all, you know, cocky. And anyway, for some reason, Braun thought that you actually catch a wave by turning broadside to the wave. Let's say the wave's here, right? That this is how you catch a wave, not like, you know, you paddle into the wave. Anyway, Braun's like, yeah, yeah, all of a sudden this wave comes in. Whoosh, Braun goes down and literally face plants into the sand. Like, he came up with gurgling sand out of his mouth. He's like, and anyway, a little bit later, we're getting close to the shore, and Braun's like, hey, Angie, check me out, you know, I'm kayaking, it's really cool, I'm cool, you know. And somehow, I don't know if you fell out, but you weren't in your kayak anymore, and this wave comes and just wallops Braun and takes his kayak and runs it up onto the beach and upends his wife. It hits her in the legs, totally flattens her on the ground. And some of you may know Braun's wife, but you know that look that she gives at Braun sometimes? She's just totally just, God, I'm just like, and I know in her head, she's like, why in the heck did you talk me into coming out here to California? But anyway, Braun also called, Braun didn't know that Yosemite was, you know, Yosemite. He called it Yosemite. So, so we're going up there, and we're in the gift shop, and he's like, what are all these signs for Yosemite? And I'm like, it's one of those Braun jokes, you know, you think it's funny that he's being, and he's like, you keep saying Yosemite, but all these books and stuff say Yosemite. I'm like, bro. Okay. Go back to Conway, and we'll try again some other time. No. Anyway, we've had some good adventures. Let me pray, and then we'll go ahead and get into some stuff tonight. Lord God, thanks so much for the opportunity to speak to these guys. I pray, Lord, that you speak and say what you want to say tonight, and that I'd get out of the way and let you do your work. Lord, you know I love you, but I need you right now. I need you to speak to these kids through your word. We love you. In Christ's name, amen. Anyway, I've spent a good portion of my life trying to find worth, trying to find significance. I grew up in a home, some of you may have, just a lot of negative talk. Just my parents were learning how to be parents, but kind of the way they did it was just a lot of negative words towards me. A lot of, you're selfish, you're bad, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. And I just believed it. I just could not see myself in a positive light. And I was constantly trying to find just worth and significance. I wanted to be cared for. I wanted to be somebody to somebody. And I was learning and trying to grasp what it means to be, to fall in love with God and understand that love relationship, but it was hard. And one time, I was probably in third or fourth grade, I'm not really sure exactly when, but I went on this day trip with my school, okay? And on the bus, there was a girl that was really hot. She's really hot. And I wanted to be something to this girl, okay? So I devised a foolproof plan. You see, I was going to pretend that I was blind, and she was, I'm going to get this girl's attention. So, literally, we get off the bus, and, you know, I kind of run into her like this. She's like, oh, gosh, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm blind, and she goes, well, I'll lead you around, and I'm like, oh, you don't have to, and she's like, no, really, I'll guide you around. I was like, okay. So I'm holding this girl's hand, and she's talking to me, and she's giving me all this attention, and inside I'm just like, oh, yes, you know, nailing this one. A couple of my guy friends are like, you're such a dog, you know, and anyway, as the day went on, I mean, we seriously did some serious hiking, and I was pulling this over on this girl, but my conscience was just killing me. It's just ripping me apart. So eventually I said, okay, I got to be honest. I'm not blind. You're hot, and I'm not blind. So I'm obviously not. And my guy friends are like, and the fire in her eyes, she was so furious. And I was crushed. And, of course, she ran away and had nothing to do with me. And the end of the day, I got back on the bus and went home. And mommy and daddy were like, you know, how was your time? And I was like, I don't know. It was pretty good. Pretended I was blind for half a day. But other than that, it was all right day. But that's typical. Now, it wasn't always pretending to be blind. But, you know, in high school, I needed to be the best. I needed to be the best athlete. I was homecoming king. I was track team captain. I did whatever I could to be liked. I wanted to be loved. Okay, and that's the title of our message tonight is, Do You Love Me? Because I think a lot of us grow up with this earnest desire to be loved, to be significant, to be worthy, to be worthy. And so we do all kinds of stuff. Guys, it's different for you than for what some of you girls struggle with in the sense of, I just want to be a queen to somebody. I just want to be significant. I want to be the best. I want to be the most significant person in my high school. I want to be the best athlete. I want to be the smartest kid in school. I want to stand out. But what you're really saying is, I just want to be loved. I just want to be loved. And we ask these kind of questions, you know, do we really matter? Are we significant? Are we loved equally? And if we think about our relationship with God, is it really possible that God can love you as much as God loves me? Because there are times that God is going to bless you with popularity and with friendships and with things, and he's not going to bless me with those things. And so I'm going to struggle with going, God, how can you love me as much as you love that person? You know, and in my own walk, there were times that I could not rejoice when my best friend succeeded or my best friend got something I didn't. Because that meant that he was loved more by God. Why would God not give me what he gave that person if he really loves me? How can God love him equally and love me in the same way? It just radically was a challenge for me. You know, but we all do it. Even in ministry, those of you in this room who are in ministry know the temptation of wanting to prove your worth, wanting to prove your significance to the kingdom of God. and being in youth ministry for a lot of years, sadly, I could tell everybody else, Jesus loves you. He adores you. But when I'd go home and look in the mirror, I'd be like, I had a lady in my church every Sunday that would come up to me and she'd embrace me and she'd say, Jesus loves you so much. You are a beloved child of the King. And I just squirmed and I was like, oh, just get away, you know, because I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. There's some stuff in my past that I'm so ashamed of that there are times like, God, I am sorry, I'm not worthy of your love. But who am I to tell God that I'm not worthy of his love? Who am I? Who are you to tell God that you are not worthy of his love? Let's look at what his word says really quick. Done? Gone? Oh. Okay. No problem. I can read it. Let's just read a few of these. 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Okay, you either believe God or you don't believe God. It's black and white. He says this. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice. Jesus bled for us because he loves us. We have a choice to believe it or not believe it. But guys, if we do not believe that God loves and adores us, every one of your relationships will be tainted and affected by that. You will not be able to love your friends, your family, your future spouse. You will not be able to love them because you will always love them with an agenda. I'll love you as long as you love me back. I'll give to you as long as you appreciate me. There's always strings attached. But when we can get to the place where we can rest in the fact that we are beloved children of the King, we can rest in that and we can love freely because we're not loving other people with an agenda to be loved back. Even in youth ministry, I so wanted to be the great youth pastor, you know, the Bron Brown. You know, I wanted to be the man because I needed to feel significant to God. His word wasn't enough. And if I'm honest with myself, here I am telling kids that Jesus loves them when I don't even believe what he says. I don't even believe what he says in his word. In 1 John 3:1, he says this, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Friends, can you look in a mirror, every one of you, can you look in a mirror and say, I'm a beloved child of God, and fully believe it with no strings attached? Well, that's the challenge. And again, in Romans, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can take that love away. Nothing. Well, that's important. And some of you, that's enough tonight. That's, you're there, you're struggling with that, you're wrestling with your own worth, and that's what you need to hear tonight. But that's not the core of the message I want to talk to you guys tonight about. Because there's another story and there's another question that needs to be asked. If you have your Bibles or if you want to look on the screen, turn to John 21. This is a passage we're going to read about Jesus and his interaction with Simon Peter. And Simon Peter, as you know, at this point in the gospel account, is recovering because he's just blown it big time. He's just denied Jesus three times. And basically, when Jesus needed him most in the time of testing, Peter ran like a scared little schoolboy. You know, he blew it. He blew it. And this is the account of Jesus restoring Peter. And there's a love story in this in itself because, guys, there's some of you in here that last week denied Jesus. You may have literally denied him to one of your friends, but you may have also denied him by the choices that you made. You may have said, you know what, Jesus, my relationship with you is not quite worth losing this friendship or losing this opportunity. And you denied him. But Jesus is so amazingly loving that he seeks to restore each and every one of you. And this is the account of the restoration of Peter. Peter and some of the disciples were fishing in the lake and they were having no luck. No luck, just no fish whatsoever. And this strange man appears on the shore. This is after Jesus' resurrection, by the way, his death and resurrection. And they're fishing and this strange man says, hey, you know, throw your net on the other side. Just try the other side. And they do, and all of a sudden, man, they just catch a huge thing of fish. And while they're catching these fish, there's this man on the shore. He's cooking up fish. He's eating. And Peter realizes that it's Jesus. And I wonder what was going through Peter's head because, you know, he had just gone through this crazy time in his life where he just totally blew it. And some of you have been there. Like, how do you approach Jesus after just totally blowing it and leaving him hanging and letting him down? And well, Peter sees that it's Jesus and he dives out of the boat and he swims to the shore. And he sits down next to Jesus and they have this conversation. And if you got to think, that there were probably a lot of words exchanged in this conversation, a lot of things said. But for whatever reason, God wanted these things recorded for a reason. And it's almost like, what was the most important thing that Jesus needed to communicate to Peter that would not only restore him, but that would be the foundation for his future ministry? He says this. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death with which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. The most significant thing Jesus needed to communicate with Peter is, Peter, do you really love me? Do you not just love me in the unconditional way, but do you love me as a friend? Do you really love me? You know what, guys? That is what we need to hear from Jesus as well. And that's what he's saying to us. Guys, do you love me? Because you know what? Nothing else is really going to matter if you don't fall in love with Jesus. Okay, you're being challenged this week to really take a stand for the Lord, to be ready for the tests that are going to come your way, to really make a difference for the Lord. But you know what? You won't if we don't get this right. If we don't get this love thing right, we will not get it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Guys, none of it matters. None of your obedience matters. The fact that you don't drink doesn't matter. The fact that you haven't had premarital sex doesn't matter if you don't love God. And if you don't love God, it's going to be a lot more difficult to stay away from that stuff, if not impossible. Remember, Jesus was challenging Peter because in the moment of testing, maybe it was love that was in question. See, Peter was a man who had all the right words to say. He had all the right words, and he said them. He was the guy that always spoke up and said, yeah, Jesus, you're the man. You're the Christ. Yeah. You know, did all the duties right. But when it came down to him, in the moment of testing, he failed. He failed, possibly, because of that love relationship. He liked Jesus. He would do things for Jesus. But he did not yet fall in love with the Savior of the world. I want you to think about something because this is where I get hung up, guys. Is there's just too many other things to love. Most of the time, I love myself more than I love God, if I'm honest. I love what I want. Sometimes I love my family more than I love God. Sometimes I love pleasing people more than I like having people that like me. I like having people that care about me. I like to please people. And so sometimes that's in my top three. But what's your top three? You know, if you were to put in an order, what are the top three things that you love? And you're honest, what are they? And if you're not honest with this question, you're not going to get to the bottom of this love issue. What are your top three? Today, my top three, probably God and my family. I'm just wrestling with that. I made a New Year's resolution, as some of us do, and it was very simple. Love God, number one. Because I'm not going to be the kind of father I need to be if I can't love God. I'm not going to be the kind of minister that God wants me to be if I don't love God. I'm not going to be obedient in times of testing if I don't love God. In fact, if you really want to have an impact on your generation, love God. If you really want to be significant to the kingdom of God, love God. If you really want to be used by God in powerful ways, love God. If you want to be a light in the darkness and a true witness to your friends, guys, love God. Love God. If you want to have healthy relationships, love God. If you want to be a good friend or sibling, son or daughter, student, athlete, coworker, husband or wife, love God. Well, what does that mean? I mean, how do we love God? I know that's a difficult concept to kind of get our minds around. What does it really mean to love God? Maybe another way to say it, because we all love people, is that we value God above all other things. He is our greatest treasure. He is our heart's desire. He becomes our best friend. He becomes the most important thing and person we pursue. And isn't it amazing that God wants us to ultimately love him? If you boil the whole gospel down, everything that's going on, what does God want us to do? Let's look at that next passage. Looks like it went bye-bye again. Okay, Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus was questioned by some people of the law. He was being challenged. What is the greatest commandment? In all of the Old Testament, if you can sum up the law in one command, what would it be? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God with everything you have. I was in seminary and I was in preaching class and I gave my sermon in front of my classmates and my teacher and I did everything according to the seminary way of giving a sermon, all my 3 points in line and everything. And he's like, man, Jeff, you nailed it. You did everything right. But something was wrong with your sermon. There was no passion. There was no love. He called into question my love relationship with the Lord, and he was right. I was simply performing a duty, and it cut me to the core because it made me realize, you know what, my heart's passion, my greatest value is not loving God, and it's going to affect every part of my life. First John 4:19, again, when we begin to love God, things happen. First, we've got to, when he says, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself, obviously, we cannot love our neighbor unless we really know and believe that we're loved as yourself. So we've got to really embrace that we're loved. But the challenge is, if we're going to love God, the outflow is loving our neighbor. And 1 John 4:19, and some of you tonight, even in this room, need to hear this because you're hung up right here. He says this in 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. If we're not loving our brother or our sister, we're liars. If we say we love God, but our life does not reflect it, we may very well be liars. Some of you in this room may be liars. I've been a liar. I was a liar yesterday. You know, when I carry hatred in my heart, when I'm not loving my neighbor, I am not loving God. Loving God is all about action. It is all about repentance. Guys, if you were going to stand for him, if you were going to grow in him, if you were going to pass the test, just put all the details aside and focus on loving God first. Not saying the do's and don'ts are not important, but they're just a reflection of the core issue in your life, and that is loving God himself. Our life is proof of our love. Our life is proof of our love. And guys, I can't tell you how many times I've gone out of my way to do things for my wife. I've blown it too. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I'm a great husband. What I'm saying is I'm in love with my wife. Because I'm in love with my wife, I do stupid things for her that don't make any sense. And I sacrifice, and I get up early, and I do things at my own expense. One time when we were dating, she was in Colorado, I was in Arkansas, and I figured out if I left at 10 at night and drove and got there, I could spend 5 hours with her and get back and drive back and get back to work in time on my 2 days off. So I did. I drove 18 hours, spent 5 hours with her, got in my car and drove 18 hours back, and it was totally worth it. It's totally worth it. Because I was in love. You know, you're not going to get up early in the morning and have time with Jesus if you don't love him, if he's not of value to you. There are things each one of you guys values that is greatly important to you, and you will sacrifice for those things. Those of you who are athletes know you sacrifice your time every day after school to become excellent at whatever sport you play. It's a sacrifice because it's a value. Guys, if we can love God, if we value God, we will sacrifice things that mean a lot to us. We will take ourselves off the top and we'll put him down and we'll put God up there and we'll say, you know what? I at least come second, if not third, or if not fourth, but God, you're number one. I'm going to love you and everything else submits to that. You know, and when I love God, my wife is a lot more happy with me. I work a lot harder. I complain a lot less. I love people better. And when I don't love God and he's not of value, I hurt people. And I hurt my wife, and I screw up. So that's it for me. And for some of you, that's it too, is to learn to really fall in love with Jesus, who he is. How do you do it? You read his word. You get to know him. You get to know his heart. You get to know his passion, the sacrifice, the blood, the sweat, the tears, everything that he did for us, guys. You can't love him if you don't know him, okay? And this is the place in God's word where we really, really get to know Jesus. Tonight, guys, we are going to just listen to a closing song. And it's a song by Coldplay. And the song is entitled Warning Sign. And I'm not saying every word in this song makes total sense when we're talking about this love issue, but as I think about Peter and his denial and his coming to terms with the fact that something was broken that needed to be fixed, and he went through a period of repentance. We don't exactly know what that looked like, but we know what 1 and 2 Peter looks like. And I'd encourage you guys to read that too. When you read 1 and 2 Peter, you read about a man who was in love with Jesus. And it's all over that book. And I'd encourage you guys to read it while you're here. Just the passion he has and what he asked these churches to do. At any rate, this is a song of repentance. And this has kind of been a significant song for me as I've sought to get right with the Lord again. And he probably didn't write it about his relationship with the Lord, but that's what it's become to me, and hopefully to you guys tonight, something will connect, and will connect with your heart as we talk about renewing that love for God and repenting and reprioritizing what's going on in our hearts. Let's listen. I think we have the words too.
The good part that I realized, I started looking and the bubble burst. I started looking for excuses. Come on in, I've gotta tell you what a state I'm in. I've gotta tell you in my loudest tones that I started looking for a warning sign. When the truth is, I miss you. Yeah, the truth is that I miss you so. Higher.
Jesus, you love us, and it's so hard for us to believe, and we just try and prove it to you, and we try and prove our worth to others, and God, help us to really embrace the fact that you are in love with us, and there's nothing we can do to take that love away. There's nothing that can separate us from your love, absolutely nothing, God, nothing in our past. Nothing we've done, nothing we've said, God, you have us in your arms. Lord, at the same time, you ask us to love you. And that's equally hard because we love ourselves. Ironically, we love just the praise we get from other people. We love our futures. We love things. We love so many things more than we love you sometimes, God. I just pray that you convict us, that you lead us, Lord, to a deeper and truer union with you, one that's based on the fact that you first loved us, but secondly, that we'd love you back. Lord, thanks for this opportunity. Thank you so much for the privilege it is to speak to these young people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.